WCRI's Festival Series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode number 3, shall we say, of the Newport Music Festival's special series on WCRI's Music Festival Series. With me tonight is Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. Welcome back, Pamela.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to be back.
Here we are in our third show already. The next thing you know, we'll be talking about show number 100. But they do go quickly. We've had a first couple of weeks of interesting shows, and here we are doing this one. And I want to just kind of catch people up with the fact that we're very pleased to be presenting this series, and just kind of check in on how the festival is going. What's new?
Well, thank you for asking. As we've mentioned before, here we are planning for the 50th anniversary season, which is absolutely incredible. And believe it or not, the planning and programming is almost set. So what we're concentrating on this year is truly honoring the past legacy of the festival while looking to the future. So summer 2018 will include the return of some legendary festival performers that we'll be announcing on WCRI. Our beloved resident artists will have concert in iconic venues, and we'll have festive programming for the anniversaries of Rossini that we mentioned last week, Debussy, and Bernstein. The full summer festival schedule will be released shortly, and I'd like to inform our listeners that in order to receive updates, they can join our mailing list at www.newportmusic.org.
All right, so what do we have in store this evening?
Since we have announced our chamber music series, we've had an incredible, a tremendous response. So I thought that we would discuss some of the repertoire on the second concert in the series that'll be coming up in January.
Okay.
Mike, if our listeners are interested in hearing more about the program for the Euclid Quartet, which is the first concert in the chamber music series that's going to be performed this Friday on October 27th at 7 p.m. at the Newport Art Museum, could you tell our listeners where they can find that podcast that you and I recorded on the WCRI website?
Sure. All of our shows are podcast, not only these that we're doing now, but the Conducting Conversation shows that I do, and the jazz show that we air on WCRI, and American Acapella, and even a show called Company Break that I host. All of those podcasts can be found at our website, which is classical959.com, and you'll see right at the top, podcasts. Just click on that, then find your favorite show, and they're all in chronological order as they've come out. So, Pamela, you can even go back and find Conducting Conversation shows. Back that I did several hundred of them are all podcasts there, so that's how to do that. So let's see. Now, if they want to buy tickets and so forth, how can they do that?
So to buy tickets for this chamber music series, our listeners can go to the website at www.newportmusic.org, or they can call the office at 401-849-0700 between the hours of 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and someone there will help them buy tickets.
Excellent. All right. Tell us a little bit about this chamber music series so our listeners can be up to date.
So we are thrilled to be inviting Serena Huang and Robert Koenig to Newport for the first time. Their program begins with Stravinsky's Suite Italienne. And when most of us hear Stravinsky, we think of his ballet music, The Firebird or The Rite of Spring, which were truly revolutionary when they were first composed. Stravinsky was born in 1882 in Russia and died in 1971 in New York City. He was 89, which is a ripe old age for a composer.
That's a ripe old age for anything. don't have to be a composer.
So Stravinsky studied with another great composer, Rimsky-Korsakov, and had several legendary collaborations with Diaghilev, who was a great dancer and choreographer, and he had this company called the Ballet Russe in Paris. And so these early works, like The Firebird and The Rite of Spring, we know were to be dissonant and rhythmic and contained references to Russian folk song. So after that early period of Stravinsky, then followed a period that started around 1920, 1921, which was a neoclassical phase, which lasted 30 years. So it was a very mature period in his composition. So he went back and he took Pergolese, who is a Baroque composer who, you know, we think of very simple Baroque melodies. And he took these Pergolese melodies that Diaghilev loved, and he rewrote them and created this Suite Italienne, which is one of the most popular, his most popular works for violin and piano. So how this came about, and there's a really evolutionary story about this, he actually first created a ballet called Pulcinella in 1919 to 1920. It was premiered at the Paris Opera in 1920, and if you can believe it, Pablo Picasso designed the original costumes and sets.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew he did that. Yeah.
So Diaghilev commissioned this piece. We have Pablo Picasso involved, and it was actually a full chamber orchestra piece with vocal soloist. It has a soprano and a tenor, so it was this huge piece based on the Commedia dell'arte, the traditional Italian theater characters. So out of this ballet, then came an orchestra suite. So he, you know, took out the soloists and then wrote an orchestral suite that was called the Pulcinella suite. And then from that piece came down this Suite Italienne. So the violin and piano piece was really derived from that huge theatrical piece that he had created. He wrote this in 1925. And then he rewrote it in 1932 and 1933. Our listeners may actually know this piece and may have heard it with cello. So he wrote it for cello and then rewrote it for violin again. So I think it's fascinating that Stravinsky clearly was never satisfied and kept rewriting it till he felt that he had, finalized his thoughts.
Perfected it, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
So he writes of this piece about the ballet. Stravinsky writes, "Pulcinella was my discovery of the past, the epiphany through which the whole of my late work became possible. It was a backward look, of course, the first of many love affairs in that direction, but it was a look in the mirror, too." So this beautiful Pulcinella ballet was so powerful that it was revived and revised by New York City's New York City ballet masters George Balanchine and Jerome Robbins, who we know, of course, West Side Story fame. So if you think about this, we've got Jerome Robbins, George Balanchine, Diaghilev, all of these, Pablo Picasso and Stravinsky, all of these geniuses have, you know, worked with this piece. So we should probably get to this piece. Now people are quite curious. So we're going to hear three movements for it. The first three, which is the Introduzione, the Serenata, and the Tarantella, being Italian. The Introduzione is the introduction. And then the second movement is the Serenata, which has this lovely, gentle lilt. It's very pastoral. And it actually came from an aria that Pergolesi wrote. And the third movement is this virtuoso showpiece of the suite, which is, you know, truly a dance form. And so, you know, you start slowly and then have this lilt and then end up with this, you know, virtuoso showpiece. So it would be great if we could now listen to the first three movements of the Suite Italienne for violin and piano with Itzhak Perlman on violin and Bruno Canino piano. Thank you.
We are back on WCRI's Music Festival program featuring the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos. She is the executive director of the festival. And Pamela, we left off trying to find out a little bit about some of the performers that we'd like to hear.
So for this concert, we have a violinist and a pianist. Serena Huang is the violinist, and she just won the very prestigious Elmar Oliveira Violin Competition. We mentioned something in our first broadcast that bears repeating, namely that the great violinist Elmar Oliveira himself played at the Newport Music Festival in 1979. It's quite apropos that Serena will be joining us this year since she won this violin competition. And she'll be playing in Newport after playing at Palm Beach at the incredible Kravis Center. Serena made her orchestral solo debut with the National Taiwan Symphony Orchestra at the age of 9, and since then she has performed in 13 countries and across 3 continents, and has been featured as a soloist with more than 40 orchestras, including the New York Philharmonic, the Cleveland Orchestra, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, the Staatskapelle Weimar in Germany, and the Russian Symphony Orchestra.
Wow. I climbed a tree when I was 9.
And pianist Robert Koenig has established a reputation as a much sought-after collaborative pianist and a chamber musician. He performs regularly with some of the most famous soloists in the world, like Serena Huang, Sarah Chang, Hilary Hahn, and performed himself with Elmar Oliveira. He has appeared at many festivals, including Aspen, Ravinia, Banff, the Seattle Chamber Music Festival, and the Mostly Mozart Festival in New York City. Mr. Koenig has recorded for Decca, Eroica, and Naxos, amongst other labels.
All right. Well, what's next on the program?
So the next piece is the absolutely delightful Ravel Violin Sonata. Ravel lived from 1875 to 1937, and he wrote this piece at approximately the same time as the Suite Italienne that we just heard. Ravel was quite taken with American music, particularly Gershwin and jazz, and the second movement of this piece is entitled Blues. Ravel actually met Gershwin. Ravel was celebrating his 53rd birthday in New York City and was at a party, and amongst the guests was the 29-year-old George Gershwin. And at the party, Gershwin impressed Ravel with an impromptu performance of The Rhapsody in Blue.
Of course.
And at that point, George Gershwin turned to Ravel and asked him if he would give him lessons. And Ravel apparently turned him down, you know, and I guess maybe it's apocryphal, but the story is that he said to him, "It's better to write good Gershwin than bad Ravel, which is what would happen if you worked with me." So a little story about, you know, Ravel and Gershwin. Yeah. So this piece was written between 1923 and 1927. And the reason it took him 4 years to write it is because it was interrupted by several other compositions. And you can hear how he moves with the piece. There are 3 movements and they're all quite distinct because I think he was thinking of different things as he was composing this. He wrote the second movement before he came to the United States, but when people asked about it in the United States and they said, "How did you, you know, become inspired by American blues?" He said, "To my mind, the blues is one of your greatest musical assets. It's truly American, despite earlier contributory influences from Africa and Spain. Musicians have asked me how I came to write blues as the second movement of my recently completed sonata for violin and piano. When I adopted this popular form of your music, I venture to say that nevertheless, it is French music, Ravel's music, that I have written. Indeed, these popular forms are but the materials of construction, and the work of art appears only on mature conception where no detail has been left to chance." So unlike jazz and blues, which are quite, they're improvisational in form, quite improvised, Ravel wrote this down as a throughly composed piece. And so he wanted to make it clear that this was not, you know, blues and jazz in the American form, but really his own interpretation of this form. So let's listen to this playful second movement of Ravel's Violin Sonata No. 2 in G major with Sarah Chang violin and Lars Vogt piano. Thank you. The largest piece on this program is the Violin Sonata in A, written in 1886 by César Franck when he was 63. Franck was born in 1822 in Belgium and died in 1890 in Paris. And he wrote this piece as a wedding present for the 31-year-old violinist Evgeny Isai. Franck presented the work to Isai on the morning of his wedding, on the 26th of September in 1886. And Isai decided after a hurried rehearsal here before he got married, he decided to play it on his wedding day. So he rehearsed, he got married, and then to the wedding guests, he played this piece. So it had its premiere at his wedding.
There you go. Get it all done at once.
What's really remarkable about this piece is sometimes a violin sonata can be the violin as a solo and then the piano is really just an accompaniment. But here, what's very interesting is that it's really a duo, and as compared to a lot of the chamber repertoire. And its technical problems include, frequent big figures, because Franck himself was an organist and had huge hands and was a virtuoso, so he could get all over the keyboard and play all these huge, you know, octaves and things like that. So he included them in the piece. So the movements are, there are four movements, and they alternate between slow and fast. And this is truly...
I like the way you said slow and fast.
And so it is really one of the masterpieces of the repertoire. What we're going to actually be hearing today is the second movement, which is the Allegro. Sometimes people refer to the second movement as the real first movement of the piece because that first movement is so sweet and gentle and feels a little bit like an introduction. And this Allegretto is really quite turbulent and exciting and very virtuoso. So we're now going to play the exciting second movement, and you'll be listening to Joshua Bell violin and Jean-Yves Thibaudet piano. This is the movement 2 of the Franck Violin Sonata in A major.
We will take a listen to that and then be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to WCRI's Music Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, and we are talking about the various programs coming up for the Newport Music Festival, specifically the Chamber Series, and where are we going to pick it up now?
We're actually going to pick it up with the very last piece on this program, which is the Zigeunerweisen by Sarasate. Zigeunerweisen is German for gypsy airs. Pablo de Sarasate was born in Spain in 1844 and died in France in 1908. So one of the amazing things about this particular program and how it's been put together is you can see that there's a very condensed period of time where these compositions were all written, namely the end of the 19th century and very early in the 20th century. And it's been fascinating to hear how varied and different these compositions are, yet they were written in a very short period of time. So Sarasate himself was a concert violinist and virtuoso. And over the course of his career, he toured many parts of the world, performing in Europe, North America, and South America. And he was quite popular and brought this Spanish flavor to his compositions. And it's even reflected in some of the work of his contemporaries, as he was very honored and considered, you know, to be somebody to be looked up to. As a matter of fact, Lalo's Symphony Espagnole, you can hear some of Sarasate's influence, as well as Georges Bizet's Carmen. So Zigeunerweisen, these gypsy airs, Opus 20, is a musical composition for violin and orchestra written in 1878. And it's based on the themes of the Roma people, or gypsies. And in the last section, there are rhythms of the csárdás, a traditional Hungarian folk dance. And I actually know this this piece quite well, this csárdás, as I had the great honor to perform Die Csárdásfürstin, which is called The Csárdás Princess, which is an operetta in three acts by Hungarian composer Emmerich Kalman. And I probably performed that piece about 250 times.
You probably know it pretty well.
So as one of this is one of Sarasate's most popular compositions, and certainly a favorite among violin virtuoso. And Sarasate himself recorded it in 1904. I did listen to that recording and would have presented it, but it was unfortunately incredibly scratchy. Yeah. But it's fascinating to hear a composer record his own piece of music. So Zigeunerweisen is one long movement, but really you hear four sections in the piece. It starts with this moderato, which is quite imposing, and then it goes to a lento, a very slow, lugubrious 4-4. And then there's un poco più lento, which is a little less slow, and you hear all these dotted rhythms in it. And then the famous allegro molto vivace at the end, which is incredibly rapid and very challenging for the violinist. So we believe that Sarasate got his inspiration for this piece during his Budapest visit in the spring of 1877. And he wrote this piece for violin and piano at the beginning of 1878. And then the orchestral version followed in 1881, which is the one we're going to hear today.
Well, Pamela, before we end the program, let's tell our listeners where they can buy tickets for this wonderful chamber music series.
Detailed information of the complete repertoire for these concerts and the ability to purchase tickets online is available on our website, www.newportmusic.org.
You're on.
Our listeners can also call the box office from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday at 401-849-0700 to purchase tickets. So this series includes four concerts, namely the Euclid Quartet on Friday, October 27th, at the Newport Art Museum, Serena Huang and Robert Koenig, Friday, January 26th, 2018, at the Newport Art Museum, the Hermitage Piano Trio on Saturday, March 24th, 2018, at Marble House, and flutist Göran Markinson and Tim Carey on Saturday, April 14th, 2018, at the Channing Unitarian Church. We are very excited to be at the Newport Art Museum for our first two concerts. As many of our listeners know, the festival is in residence there for a week every summer, and it's really terrific to be back there this winter. For our audience, I believe the ability to hear this beautiful music and be able to enjoy the exhibitions on display at the same time is a terrific opportunity. During intermission, we will have a wine and cheese reception, which is part of the ticket price, and the audience can meander through the art museum with a glass of wine and have a true multi-sensory experience. So we will end our program this evening with the complete Sarasate Zugoynevisen, played by the incredible Joshua Bell and the conductor Andrew Litton and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Pamela, thank you for all the wonderful information, and we look forward to this piece of music, and we'll see you all next time on the Newport Music Festival Series.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.